Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains scary dogs. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. Walking alone at dusk in the Sahara Desert, the sun slipping behind the dunes, you spot a glowing eyes in the shadows. Not a wolf, not a hyena, something else, something spectral. Killian, what is this creature? Killian, what is this creature?
I think I know something, but I don't know what. Maybe it's... Is it... I've heard of a three-headed dog. Is that it?
Nope. That's Cerberus. It's not Cerberus. It is the Ajoule. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. So, as always, first things first, we have our friends Noah and Jesse to thank for introducing us to the Ajoule, because I have never even heard of the Ajoule. Have you heard of the Ajoule? Okay, well then there we go. So thank you for introducing us. So, I'm guessing if you've never even heard of them, you know nothing about them.
No.
No, me neither. So, the Ajoule is one of North Africa's most elusive and eerie cryptids. Legends about it have drifted through the desert winds for generations, especially among the Tuareg people and tribes around Libyan and Algerian Sahara, that area. Have you heard of the Sahara Desert?
In social studies, yes. But I've never heard, I've seen, pictures, but not, anything about it.
Right.
I know it's a desert.
Right. So exactly that. The Sahara.
It's somewhere in South America.
Right. So the word Sahara literally means desert. So it's the same thing as calling, so it's desert, which is the same thing as calling chai tea, which literally means TT. Remember that joke in Into the Spider, or the second Spider-Verse movie?
Yeah.
He's like, chai tea, that's like saying TT. Remember that? Remember that joke? Yeah. So you're literally saying desert when you say Sahara Desert. Mm-hmm. Do you, so other than that it's a desert, do you know anything else about it?
No.
Okay.
It can get up to 130 degrees or something.
I don't know about that, but it is the hottest, it is the largest hot desert in the world, spanning all of North Africa, and is only 3,600,000 miles. Jeez. Okay, hold on. The Sahara Desert is the largest hot desert in the world, spanning all of North Africa, and is 3,600 miles long.
Jeez.
That is a lot.
No one would survive.
They probably could survive in the Sahara. People survive in the Sahara all the time if they are appropriately,
equipped.
But if you're not, yeah, no.
No.
So... all that to say, what is the Ajoule? So the Ajoule is a wild dog, a spirit, or something in between? Descriptions kind of vary, but the Ajoule is usually described as a dog-like or hyena-like, but possibly larger and a little bit leaner. Its eyes glow eerily in the dark, often red or green. Its ghostly pale fur, or sometimes dark and shadowy, is often silent or makes low, unnatural growling noises. It moves quickly and vanishes without a trace. Some say the Ajoolay is a real undiscovered species of desert dog. Others say it is a spirit, maybe the ghost of a guardian animal or a creature from another world. Sightings are most often reported near oases or salt flats or abandoned caravan routes, the lonely roads once traveled by traders and nomads. Many stories come from the Tuareg, which are a nomadic people known for their deep knowledge of the desert. So, like, obviously those people survive in the Sahara. Yeah. Fine. So the exact origin of the myth is unclear. It is likely the Ajoolay are inspired by a mix of real dangers, like desert jackals and wild dogs, and
Yes. Can I say something?
Oh, sure.
Maybe people seeing the Ajoolay.
Mm-hmm.
You know how people have, like, mirages?
Oh, uh-huh.
It could just be a mirage.
Well, okay, so listen to... So the statement you interrupted, which, to be fair...
Sorry.
No, it's okay, because what you said is a fair point, because listen to the statement I was just about to say. So though the exact origin of the myth is unclear, it is likely that the Ajoolay is inspired by a mix of real dangers, like the desert jackals and wild dogs, and the isolation of desert life, where strange howls and tracks in the sand can quickly become legend. So, possibly to combine that with what you're saying, maybe possibly someone out in the middle of the desert who is maybe very tired or very hot, and maybe they weren't hydrated or things like that, or maybe they saw something with, because sometimes the heat can make things look a little crazy. And maybe they saw a mirage, or maybe something like a Jekyll or like a wild dog looked a little bit different in the heat, like a mirage or something like that. And it got mistaken. Something average got mistaken as something fantastical.
Yeah.
Interesting point. Okay. So what do you think the Ajoolay could possibly symbolize?
Maybe... I don't know, actually. I thought it would be, like, a symbolization of death in their country.
Okay. So, you're not...
In the desert.
Right. So, you're not wrong, but let's get into that a little bit more. So, the Ajoolay symbolizes mystery, isolation, and ancient warnings. In many stories, the Ajoolay appears before something bad happens.
So, like Mothman?
Hold on. So like a sandstorm, an injury, or even death, which is what you just said. It is not always evil, but it is always a sign that something isn't right. So the Ajoolay is a lot like a certain West Virginia cryptid called...
Mothman.
Bug legends, the Ajoolay might have served as a desert guardian, warning travelers to stay on the right path or to punish those who disrespected the land. Which I can respect.
Yes, because I don't know if they, like, it would be any reason for them to put plastic bottles and little...
Probably not local people or tribesmen, but maybe tourists. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't dare go in there.
Oh, to the desert?
Yeah,
tourists go to the desert, to the Sahara all the time, I'm certain. Well, because I'm sure there's a lot to see. There is some beauty to it. There is a lot. It's a place to travel, but you have to respect the land no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Right. And no matter where, even if you're my fan, yes, I do need all my fans because I use my fans.
Yeah, because you barely survived in Orlando.
That is true. I do need to carry all my little battery-operated fans, yes.
And maybe a wheelchair.
The wheelchair is because I had a heat stroke, Killian. And the desert probably would do that.
Probably. And then I would be sitting next to you.
Yes, in your own wheelchair.
Yes, tiny little wheelchair.
What I'm saying, though, but yes, we should respect the land no matter where we are, whether we're traveling or we're just in our own home places. We respect our land.
Yeah, we watched a documentary yesterday.
Oh, yes, we've been watching Blue Planet a lot lately.
And we saw, was it the what was it?
What?
It was like a big bird. It had like the 8 feet wingspan.
Albatross.
Albatross. And we saw a bunch of dead albatrosses because they were swallowing toothpicks in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And they died.
So we should respect our land, our land and our oceans always.
Yeah.
So, the Ajule could potentially be punishing those who do not respect the land. So before we jump into a few quick stories about the Ajule, I want to share a few stories about other ghost dogs from around the world, because we are big fans of dogs. We have a dog sitting here right now listening to us record this. Tonks, do you hear these dog stories? Tonks, are you listening?
Tonks is asleep.
Oh, she's asleep. I hope she enjoys. Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is in England, they have
the Black Shuck.
The Black Shuck. Don't read ahead.
Sorry.
The Black Shuck is a huge black dog with glowing red. Oh, she woke up. She heard. It's a black dog with big glowing red or green eyes. Sometimes he's headless, which is a little terrifying. Ooh. Usually found haunting Norfolk or Suffolk.
Norse?
Norse. Norfolk is an area, or Suffolk, which is in the UK, which is with references dating all the way back to the 1500s.
Jeez.
It is said that the Black Shuck appears on stormy nights and is seen as a harbinger of death, but in some stories, it can protect travelers. It is said that Black Shuck once burst into a church during a thunderstorm and left two people dead. His claw marks were said to remain on the door for years. People who saw him would sometimes fall ill or die soon thereafter. Think of him as Britain's doom hound.
There is something called the bloodhound.
Well, but no, bloodhound.
Bloodhound is a.
Bloodhounds are just. Yeah.
Yeah, but they do look cool.
They're just dogs.
They do look cool, especially with the spiky collars.
Oh, okay. There's also the Cadijo of Central America. He pops up as two versions, white Cadijo, which is good, and black Cadijo, which is evil. Both are shaggy, spectral dogs. Do you know what I mean by spectral? I just realized that you might not have known.
Ghost.
Like yes, okay. Spectre. Cool.
But spectator can mean like just look.
A person who watches, yes. But in the spectral means like spirit or ghost.
Yeah.
Okay. He is known to haunt El Salvador. I don't know why I said that weird. El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. The origins of the Cadijo go all the way back to early indigenous beliefs mixed with colonial folklore. The black Cadijo attacks drunkards and criminals, while the white Cadijo protects
drunkards.
Like people who drink a lot. Like alcohol. Sorry, not like water, obviously.
Okay, I was like, oh no, I'm toast.
The white Cadijo protects good people who are traveling at night. Unlike the Ajule, the black shuck, the Cadijo has a good twin. The tale teaches like the difference between right and wrong, depending on which version of the Cadijo finds you. And finally, there is the Barguest of Northern England. The Barguest is the giant black dog with fiery eyes, and it sometimes has chains or glowing breath. The Barguest is known to lurk around Yorkshire and is in the surrounding area around it. The Barguest is associated with death, punishment, and vengeance, sometimes appearing near dying people or places of execution. The Barguest is the most brutal of the bunch, and in some versions, it hunts down people who break oaths or commit crimes.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. All right, so are you ready for some stories about the Ajule?
I had something to tell you.
Oh, go ahead, tell me.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it while we're recording.
Oh, okay. All right, so are you ready for the Ajule?
Yeah.
So this story comes from 1887, near the salt mines of Mali.
Salt mines?
The desert sun had just dipped below the horizon when the caravan leader, Maruf, noticed something strange pacing them along the edge of the dunes. It moved like a dog,
low to the ground, and quick, but it was too large, too silent. Its glowing eyes flashed green each time the campfire flickered. The camels grew restless, snorting and pulling against their ropes. Maruf had traveled the salt mines his whole life, but he'd never felt the air grow so heavy with fear. He told the younger traders to sleep close together and to avoid looking towards the dunes. That night, no one truly slept. By dawn, Maruf made a hard decision. He and half the caravan turned back, even if it meant losing some days of travel. The rest laughed at him, saying the desert heat was making him crazy. Maruf decided to listen to his men and stayed. By noon, the wind howled in from the north. Howled in from the north. A massive sandstorm swept over the salt flats, swallowing everything in its path. Months later, when another caravan tried the same route, they found only shattered crates, half-buried bones, and a single paw print the size of a man's face, pressed deep into the stone-hard sand. He tried to warn them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this one's from 1982 in the Algerian Sahara, and it's the Land of Terror. When the French-Algerian radio team set up camp near the dunes of Tanazroft, one of the hottest and most desolate parts of the Sahara, they didn't expect much excitement, just geology and static. But as darkness settled, their equipment began to glitch. Static screamed through the speakers, and batteries that had just been fully charged that morning drained in minutes. Then came the howling, low and rhythmic, almost like laughter, but too deep to be any known animal. Field engineer Claire looked out past the edge of the floodlights and saw eyes blinking in unison. Too high off the ground to be jackals, too focused to be a coincidence. They radioed for help, but only part of the transmission made it out. The team huddled together until morning, barely sleeping until rescue finally arrived. The rescuers found strange clawed tracks circling the camp. Large, three-toed prints that left no sign of entry or exit, just loops and loops like something had been watching and waiting. When asked about the event years later, Claire simply said it wasn't hungry, it was curious, and that is worse. This one is from 2021.
That's a big jump.
And this one is the Mauritania border. That's how you say it. Okay. A young YouTuber named Jacob hired a Tuareg guide named Hafid for a desert survival video, hoping to capture raw, unscripted moments in one of the world's harshest places. Hafid warned Jacob not to film at night, especially not near the black rock valleys that the locals called the Whisper Hills. But Jacob insisted his audience expected danger even if it was fake. That night, while the wind hissed between the dunes...
Is Whisper Hills an actual place in the Sahara?
I don't. I think so. Yeah, I'm assuming so. Yeah.
Okay. Carry on.
That night, while the wind hissed between the dunes, Hafid froze. You hear that? He whispered. Jacob stopped filming. From the darkness came the sound of something walking. Not on two legs, not even four, but something dragging across the sand in an unnatural rhythm. Then came the breathing. Deep, rasping, almost human. Moments later, Hafid vanished into the night with nothing but his lantern. Jacob panicked and called out, but the only answer was a low growl and a flicker of movement just beyond the light's edge. He found Hafid's scarf snagged on a rock and strange paw prints forming a perfect circle around where they had sat. When the rescue drone found Jacob days later, he was sunburned, hoarse, and shaken. The final frame of his camera, never released to the public, showed something tall, lean, and dog-like just at the corner of the picture, its eyes locked directly on the lens. So that's the Ajule.
Whoa.
What do you think?
I liked it.
Would you like to meet one?
No.
No.
As long as Tonks or Luna were with me, I would be okay because then...
I don't know that Tonks and Luna could do anything against a spirit dog. So I guess
not
it depends.
Just to protect you. Yeah.
Oh, to chat? To chat?
So you would, excuse me,
Mr. Ajule, please leave my boy alone.
Yes.
Tonks, would you do that? Tonks? That would entail you waking up first. Oh, there she goes. Tonks, would you protect Killian from the Ajule? No answer.
I bet she would.
All right. Well, thank you again to our friends, Noah and Jesse, for suggesting the Ajule. What do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you to Noah and Jesse.
Noah and Jesse.
There we go. If you guys have a cryptid or a monster or a folklore or a cursed item or a haunting or anything like that, just go to your grown-up.
Ask nicely.
Wait patiently until they are at a space where they can do it. And send us an email or a message. And we will add it to our list. It's not like a crazy long list, but it's a good amount of lists.
Not as long as last year, but...
Yeah, so it's a good amount of lists. So if you haven't gotten to your story yet, do not panic. We are getting there, I promise. And yeah, just send us your story. And that is it. That's all we've got for you today. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time,
remember,
the cryptids are watching.